You're listening to Radio Diaries. This is Joe, and I have some exciting news from the Radiotopia family. Ear Hustle is back with a new season. Hosts Nigel Poor and Earlonne Woods are bringing you unique, surprising stories from four California prisons. This season, they have some truly interesting perspectives. You'll hear from people who are so comfortable in prison that they no longer want to be free. And you'll hear from mothers of inmates about the complicated reality of having adult children in prison. The show is full of candid interviews and thought-provoking conversations, and it just keeps getting better. Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts and at earhustlesq.com. Radio Diaries is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Radiotopia. From PRX.
From PRX's Radiotopia, this is Radio Diaries. I'm Joe Richman. 1 year ago, on Valentine's Day, Peter Fodera's heart broke. It stopped working. Fodera was 72, a big man with a big smile and a big belly. You wouldn't look at him and think dance teacher. But on that Valentine's Day, he was DJing and teaching a class. He just started playing this song by Gotan Project when he collapsed to the ground and the music stopped. I was in the class that day. It took a while for all of us to realize what was happening. Someone did CPR. Someone else called an ambulance. The EMTs showed up. But through it all, Peter wasn't moving. Many of us assumed we had witnessed the death of our favorite teacher. And officially, he did die. But later in the hospital, Peter's heart started beating again. For the anniversary of his brief death, I asked Peter Fodera to record a conversation with his daughter, Juliana. She's 39 and has Noonan syndrome, a rare genetic disorder. While Peter's experience of dying and coming back to life may seem miraculous to some of us, it doesn't to Juliana. By her count, she's died 21 times. On today's show, Living with Dying.
So on February 14th, Valentine's Day, teaching in the East Village, during the middle of the class, I just hit the floor.
Did you feel weird that morning at all?
No, no signs. In good health for somebody my age. I was kind of surprised when I went down. And I don't really remember much more. I just knew I was going down. At the moment that that happened, they said that I officially died.
I was really scared when I got the call. And I remember having this moment and go, what if this is it? Like, what if Dad's gone? And I tried not to go to that place because I didn't want to be morose. But there was that other part of me that's like, reality, you kind of know the stats that go hand in hand with this kind of a health crisis.
Well, I've been told that only 5% of people that have this cardiac arrest, it's a double cardiac arrest, only 5% survive.
I mean, seeing you on the vent, seeing you helpless was painful. And I remember when you were starting to come back and we had that moment in the hospital room and no one else was in the room and you looked at me like a little kid, like you did something wrong and you went, what happened? And I said, Dad, you had cardiac arrest and you died. And you went, no. And I said, you were in the middle of teaching a five rhythms class. No. And I said, Dad, it was on Valentine's Day. Oh, no. And it was like, oh, God.
I mean, it's so hard to comprehend that. You must feel that way.
I think for me, my point of reference to death is very different than a lot of people my age, because death has always been an integral part of my life. It's always been a possibility.
You know, you died as soon as you were born, which doesn't happen to that many people, but the doctor came out after you were born, and there were no signs that there was going to be a difficult birth. And he said to me, I've never seen a baby fight so hard to survive. So clearly, you were not interested in dying at that point. They said that they revived you at least 5 times. Shall we keep working with her? And we were like, yes, yes, of course. Do whatever, you know. She's here. She's here for a reason.
And then, from what I've been told, it was several more times that week that I was resuscitated. It was really touch and go the first week.
Yeah.
And I remember I was 13, and it was when I had one of the really major abscesses in my kidney. And the doctor saying, Juliana, we don't know how much time you have with this kidney, let alone we don't know how much time you have left. It could be 6 weeks. It could be 6 months. We're not sure how old you'll make it to. You know, when you're told there's a 50% chance you're going to wake up. Are you kidding me? There's so much shit I've not done yet. There's so much trouble I haven't gotten into. And it's like, ugh.
All the times that this happened for you, do you, I remember playing with you before you going through some of your most serious surgeries and saying, you know, like photographing you and saying, okay, give me cheesecake. And you would do really funny stuff.
Because it was, I didn't want you and Mom to remember me in pain. And that was my goal. My goal was, you have to make this as pleasant for them as possible because you may not wake up.
Yeah. The thing, though, that really just floors me is that you always manage to not let the fear numb you. You know, like, you didn't let it stop you. I mean, you're one of the happiest people that I know.
But at the same time, I know it's not easy to feel helpless. There's always this little bit of shame that comes up asking for help. And I have to remember, like, I've been hooked up to tubes. I've had 27 surgeries. I've died 21 times. This is not like I'm not trying here. You know, there's a lot of untapped wisdom in death that people don't understand.
Yeah. But death wasn't as I expected it would be, you know? It was a bit of a surprise. My concept of death was somehow a very dark place. And after having had this experience, somehow it's lightened up for me. Fear doesn't have the same hold over me that it did before. And that's a blessing.
And how do you feel now?
I feel great now. I actually, the last 10 months have really been happy time for me. And I feel somehow guilty saying this, but watching what's happening in the world with the pandemic, you know, we don't expect to leave this party, but very often we just get taken away. We don't come back. Mm-hmm. So, wow, I got to live another year. Not everybody gets to live another year.
I do have a question. I remember the moment after I got off the phone with the ER doctor, I said, oh crap, I think Dad had a DNR. You didn't want tubes. You didn't want any of that. So I wanted to know, you know, if you forgave me for making the decision that I did, because I know you had said no, a DNR. Like, but I'm being for real, that my question to you is that, do you feel differently about having a DNR after all this has happened?
Well, you know, that's a very complex question. Your mom had a terminal illness, so the idea of having a do not resuscitate made sense for her. I had no idea what was happening, and I am very grateful that nobody decided to follow that and let me go down the rabbit hole. So I'm very glad to be back. So I forgive you for that.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
Peter Fodera and his daughter, Juliana. They interviewed each other at their home in Ridgefield, Connecticut. Peter's death 1 year ago was well-timed. 1 month later, New York City went into lockdown because of a mysterious new virus called COVID-19. Hospitals in the city became overwhelmed, and a grim new policy was handed down to paramedics and EMT workers. If a cardiac patient can't be resuscitated at the scene, if the pulse or breathing is not returned, the patient won't be brought to a hospital. It was New York City's own DNR order, and Peter Fodera would not have had the opportunity to come back to life. Our story was produced by me with help from Nellie Gillis. Our editors are Deborah George and Ben Shapiro. Music from Poddington Bear, Blue Dot Sessions, Man Man, and Goton Project. Radio Diaries is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX, a network of independent, listener-supported, artist-owned podcasts. You can listen to all the shows in the network at radiotopia.fm. We have support from the New York State Council on the Arts, the Horace Goldsmith Foundation, and listeners like you. I'm Joe Richman. Thanks for listening.
Radiotopia. From PR.